to me now. You have all my attention. I will linger and listen. I can't miss a thing. Cause all I know, my heart wants more of you. My heart wants something new. So I surrender.
Oh, it's going to really be this.
Just one touch, just one glimpse of your face.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another Godcast. We don't call it a podcast here. We call it a Godcast. Thank you very much for joining in every single day, Monday through Friday, joining me for fellowship, learning, going through the Word, talking about things that affect our lives, giving live testimony on my side of the camera and on your side of the camera. You know, all coming together every day to spiritually help people, emotionally help each other, financially help each other. And I can't tell you how much it means to me that what we've been able to accomplish as a faith-based believing group of people that gather every morning. Let me just give you an idea beyond everything that I just said, what we've been able to accomplish in God's name because of God's blessings. we have not only raised money here on Rise Up for people and their families, regardless of their financial situation or why they're in it. So to you and I, it's donating $20. To the recipients of that collective $20 that we all donate, it comes out to hundreds, sometimes thousands of dollars that get worry and anxiety and fear off of their plate, even for just a little bit, but in some cases, life-changing moments. That's number one. Number two, I can't tell you over the years how many thousands of people have come to me both online and in real life and said, if it wasn't for Rise Up, I wouldn't have my marriage anymore. I wouldn't have my children in my life. I would not have reconciled with my sister or my brother. I would not have had healing of my family because prayers were not a thing unless it was from the Rise Up family. And then last but not least, let's not forget that we took a Christian school that was dying because of attendance, and they were losing their building of 30 years. 30 years this Christian school was where it was. And just by chance, the couple years that I happened to be part of that church and part of that system was the moment that they needed financial help the most. And we'd got a sponsor, which was Trumpet Daily. And that sponsor supplied us enough money to just pass it right along to the school for so long that the bank that gave them the loan for the new building, which now they have an explosion of attendees, but that new building that they got was because of you. Well, ultimately, it was because of God. But it was because of you and your willingness to be here every day that brought a sponsor that gave us enough money to pass that along that the bank ended up requiring in order for them to get the loan, which they got for the new building, and now there's more people in that school than there's been in years. It doesn't take an army to change the world. It just takes a few God-fearing, Bible-believing, Jesus-loving people like you and me to come together in the name of God through Jesus Christ, operated and guided by the Holy Spirit, and we've changed the world, or at least people's outlook on the world. And we've never had more than, I think one time we've had more than 2,000 people watching. That's it. Most people do not want to hear the word of God. Most people do not want to put themselves under a microscope or put themselves spiritually in front of a mirror. That's why we don't have 2,000 or 3,000 people watching the most important show on this network. But it's okay, because the people that we do have changed so many people's lives. And I'm one of them. So if you're new to Rise Up, watching live or watching later, make sure you guys follow this page. We're almost at 100,000. We're in a whole nother level once we hit 100,000. Okay, we'll start getting people watching that never would have paid attention to us because we're not one of those pages that have 100,000. We're so close. I think we have like 4,000, 4,500 left or something like that. Make sure that you give us a thumbs up and don't be afraid to share. You can take the link and you can actually just text the link in your church groups. Do you belong to any church groups or any church Facebook groups? If so, put it in there. Crystal says, can we pray for my best friend's mom, Andrea Beckett? She's in hospice and in a lot of pain. Of course we can. KC22 said, you got a shout out on Julie Green this morning. Oh, really? By Julie? I just talked to Chris the other day. Oh, thank you, Misty. Thank you so much for the $20 donation. Your growth in the Christian walk is something I never thought could happen. I think of the backyard days. Wow, God is so good. Proud of you, brother, says Grammy Love. Well, thank you. Thank you so very much. Andrea, we will pray for Andrea, Crystal. And, yeah, I'm just curious. Was it Julie who gave me the shout-out? Or was it somebody in the chat? Because if it was Julie, then I definitely got to reach out to them after the show today and thank them for that. I really appreciate it. Miss Mocha Powered said, "You mean the world to me." Tina says, "Prayers for your friend, Crystal." Definitely. Chris gave the shout out. Well, we love Chris a lot, and I'll reach out to them. Let's go to prayer, and then we're going to get busy. Check your emails. I did send you guys all an email this morning for those who follow the email list. For those who don't follow the email list, all you have to do is go to lfatv.us or jeremyharrell.com and just find the Revolution newsletter and follow that. And that's how you get your morning newsletter emails, which I sent out this morning. Chris was pointing somebody to rise up. Well, Chris, if you're watching, my brother, God bless you. And let's have lunch soon, okay? Today's show, defining faith. Okay, we're going to dig into what the biblical definition of faith is. And we're going to look at some other definitions as well. I got something really great to read you. And then we're actually going to watch an interview today, which we don't normally ever do. But we're going to watch an interview today with George Janko and Brandon Lake. So it's going to be really fun. It won't be the whole interview. We'll break it up. We'll watch some today and some tomorrow, hopefully. But let's go to Lord in prayer, and then let's get right to it. Lord and Heavenly Father, today as we bow in front of you, Lord, and ask for forgiveness of our sins, including fear that we shouldn't have, that we know we shouldn't have, anxiety and worry that we allow into our lives on a daily basis, even though we are way above that, Lord, we just ask for forgiveness for our human emotions and our human defaults. And Lord, we pray that through fellowship with each other and our journey with Jesus, that we can reduce the amount of worry and anxiety and fear that we allow into our lives that cause us to act irrationally or even unholy. We know we are called. We know we are called to be righteous, and we know that we are called to be representatives of heaven. And Lord, the only way for us to get there, as you know, is to completely shed our former selves. But you also know it takes time for us. So, Lord, we pray for patience upon the Holy Spirit to help us, guide us through this. And, Lord, we pray for folks that are in hospice right now in a lot of pain, in physical pain, emotional and spiritual pain. We pray for those that are listening that just feel hopeless and down for the holidays. Maybe their family isn't with them for the holidays and they feel lonely. Lord, help them find a sense of purpose here and in Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Amen. It's amazing how fast the word of God travels. Well, not only is it amazing how fast the word of God travels, but it's amazing how quick a situation turns from one direction to another as soon as you allow God in. I had a conversation with Ben last night, Ben Berkwam. I got a text from him. He said, "Hey, give me a call when you can." So I gave him a call, and him and Gavin Newsom have had runarounds. Like, Gavin Newsom does not like Ben Berkwam, and for obvious reasons, right? Because Ben holds him to account. And the last time that Ben and Gavin had a runaround, Ben was with Laura Loomer and I believe Will Johnson, and they jumped the fence of the governor's mansion. Or I mean, maybe it was a winery that the governor owned. I don't know. To show that borders don't matter, right? And they all got arrested. But Ben actually had a run-in with Governor Gavin Newsom yesterday, in which Ben actually said, you know, got a chance to say, "Gavin, I'd love to shake your hand." Gavin actually smiled, came over and shook Ben's hand. And Ben actually told him, he said, "Look, I know that we have our runarounds. I know that you and I are completely opposite." He said, "But the Lord has been weighing it on my heart to pray over you and your family, to pray peace and joy and positivity over you and your family. And Ben said the look on his face went from the arrogant, fake smile that he always has to almost like a moment of revelation and genuine smiles. And he thanked Ben. And you just have to think to yourself, if God is in a situation like that, and God has been in situations in our lives, then there is nothing that can't be done or undone in the name of Christ. And I'll bring Ben on to tell that story actually this week, hopefully. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe on Friday. We will not be here on Thursday. But just a truly great moment that Ben wanted to share with me last night. He knew that I would appreciate it, and of course I did. And we had a long talk about that. And, you know, there's been so many times where I thought, you know, I'm going to handle this situation on my own. And every time I do that without bringing God into the situation, or at least without having, you know, a speck of Jesus in that situation, it always goes bad. It never goes right. And maybe true healing and the end of division might actually start happening in this country. Maybe that was a sign of it last night, because ultimately what we want is to pray for these people, right? Ultimately what we really want is to heal and bring people to God, no matter what they've done or no matter who they are. And our flesh doesn't want to do that. Our flesh wants division, and our flesh wants fighting and worry and anxiety and constant chaos. And Ben was able to rise above the differences and the chaos yesterday and pray for Gavin Newsom and shake his hand. And he said, what a change in his demeanor when that happened. God was truly there in that moment. And that's, I think what we're all trying to do, isn't it? I mean, I think that's what we all want. Like, as much as we want justice to be done for those people who, you know, destroyed lives and hurt children and all that, ultimately we want them to come to God. Because there's always a redeemer. And that redeemer is calling people to be redeemed. And it was a great story. And I'll bring Ben on to talk about it. Today's show, Defining Faith. Let me read for you, while you guys are continuing to share this message out and share this word out, let me read for you the description of today's show. And then I'm going to go and I'm going to read something really profound that I read this morning that I think we should all read. Okay? What is faith? There are different definitions of faith, believe it or not, depending on where you look. Today we will look at the biblical definition of what faith really is. Having a grasp on this can rid you of all stress, worry, anxiety, and fear. I pray that you can join me in today's message and help me share the gospel, not gossip. And don't forget to share that story that I just shared of Ben. I think it's very profound. I think it's very telling of where the Lord is going. And if you see so many other people are starting to wake up, like Anna Kasparian of the Young Turks, Ben even had a conversation with Cenk, the guy that runs the Young Turks. And I'm just telling you, folks, when you bring God into the situation, he can change everything. And it's just really, really and truly amazing. Really and truly amazing. Somebody said that there is a new update on the Rumble app. So if you do watch on the Rumble app, do not forget to do an update. It will save you a lot of headache and heartache over the next few weeks. When you say, oh, there's a black screen, or I can't see the chat, I can't get on, and you watch through the app, make sure that your app is updated. If you watch through your browser, make sure that your browser is updated on your phone as well. Okay? All right. Before we get to what I want to read today, I want to read this little. These are all my notes today. Look at this. Look at that. Almost nothing. Some days it's two or three pages. Some days it's almost nothing. It's about the message, not the length of the message. Our generation today. I'm not talking about Generation X or Boomers, or I'm just talking about our society today. Our generation today wants blessings without obedience. Our generation today wants success without sacrifice. And our generation today, or our society today, wants love without the action of commitment. Faith, my friends, doesn't work that way. And that's how we're going to start today's show. Faith doesn't work that way. I want to read something for you, if you don't mind. It's a little lengthy, but bear with me, okay? Faith is one of those words that is commonly used, but not always understood. Some of that confusion comes from the many different ways the word faith is used in everyday conversation. A quick look at dictionary.com shows 7 different uses of the word faith. One common way that people use the word faith is to refer to belief in something despite lacking evidence for it. But is that what the Bible means when it describes faith? And the answer is a resounding no. Let me say that again. The biblical definition of faith is not described as a belief in something despite lacking any physical evidence for it. So if that's not the definition of faith, then what does faith mean? Well, let's talk about what faith means according to the Bible. The closest that the Bible comes to offering an exact definition is in Hebrews 11:1. Quote, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." That's probably where you get that other definition that I just explained. But the two are very different. From this particular passage, we see that the central feature of faith is confidence or trust. In the Bible, the object of faith is God and His promises. A clear example of this is Abraham's encounter with God in Genesis 15. In response to God's promise of countless descendants, Abraham, quote, "believed the Lord, and he counted on him, or he counted it to him, excuse me, as righteousness." Genesis 15:6. Commenting on this, the Apostle Paul writes, quote, "No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God." And we'll get to that in a little bit because that is part of the verse of the day. Faith is more than an intellectual agreement. To use an old illustration, imagine you are at Niagara Falls, watching a tightrope walker push a wheelbarrow across a rope high above the falls. After watching him go back and forth several times, he asks for a volunteer to sit in that wheelbarrow as he pushes it across the falls. Now, at an intellectual level, you may believe that he could successfully push you across that rope over the falls and nothing happened. But you are not exercising biblical faith until you get in the wheelbarrow and entrust yourself to the tightrope walker. Make sense? Right? Belief is what the devil has. Belief in quoting God, the devil does all the time. Faith is the act of getting in to the wheelbarrow, not believing that this tightrope walker can pull this off. Genuine biblical faith expresses itself in everyday life. James writes that faith by itself, apart from works, is dead. That's in James 2:17. But people tend to get that mixed up. They're confused by that. They think that you have to have faith and then you have to go do certain things in order to marry the two so that God will accept you. That's not what faith without works is. Faith is a product of your hope and your belief and trust in God's promises to you. And then that faith, if you apply it into your everyday life, will produce fruit that people will see. And that is the works that the Bible is talking about. Not go do something specific, be something specific. Okay? Faith works through love to produce tangible evidence of its existence in a person's life. Galatians 5:6. Put another way, the obedience that pleases God comes from faith, rather than a mere sense of duty or obligation. So you can't say, I must go to church today because it's my way for God to recognize me. I must go help these people out because God says I have to go help the poor. Now, going to church and helping the poor is exactly what God wants you to do. But again, not out of a sense of duty or obligation. It's like that fight on that movie, The Breakup, with Jennifer Aniston. Remember that? Gary, I don't want you to help. I don't want you to do the dishes. I want you to want to do the dishes. Gary, doing the dishes to please his wife, isn't what she wanted. She wanted him to want to do the dishes with her. That's another analogy. There is all the difference in the world between the husband who buys his wife flowers out of delight and one who buys them simply out of duty or obligation. Faith is so important because it is the means, by which we have a relationship with God. You can't have a real relationship with your wife or your husband if you don't have trust, right? G.R. Messick, exactly. Why in the heck would I want to do the dishes? Exactly. I love that movie. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Ephesians 2:8. Faith is how we receive the benefits of what Jesus has done for us. He lived a life of perfect obedience to God. Died to pay the penalty for our sinful rebellion against God, not even his own, and then rose from the dead to defeat sin, death, and the devil. By putting our faith in him, we receive forgiveness for our sins and the gift of eternal life. So what does faith mean? Simply put, faith means relying completely on who Jesus is and what he has done to be made right with God. For us, are you considering a faith-filled call to Christianity or to ministry? Ladies and gentlemen, you must understand what faith really is and not just say, well, I have faith in that to be done. I have faith that my son will pass that math quiz today. Oh, I have faith that my daughter will make the right decision. That's using it wrong. Faith is much deeper than that. Much, much deeper than that. The verse of the day today, if you opened up your newsletter, and we touched on just a little bit of it there when I was reading that, is Romans 4, 18 through 25. Again, Romans 4, 18 through 25. Okay? Let's go there now. Right here. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. As he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Think of the faith that it took for Abraham. He's old. God says, you've got an established, well-structured life here, wife, servants, people. I'm going to need you to pack all that up and just get on out of here. Where am I going to go, Lord? Don't worry about it. You'll know when you get there. Just go. And if you do this, you'll be a father of many nations. I'm like 100 years old. What do you mean I'm going to be father of many nations? Like, that isn't even just being talked into something. That is true faith. To go and do that. That is true faith. L. Grix, thank you so very much. And I'll actually talk about that here in just a second. How about this? The disciples. Jesus, drop everything. What about my family? Can I go say goodbye to my family, my dad, my mom? But nope, can't even do that. Come with me. Drop everything. You don't need anything. All right. What? Would you do that? If somebody came to your door today. Hello? Can I help you? Yes, I need you to drop everything and follow me in the name of the Lord. He didn't even tell people he was who he was. He didn't tell people he was the Son of God. He did something. He produced fruit, something that they saw with their eyes. And because of that, they had faith to follow him. Would you do that? Come on. Honestly. That level of faith, ladies and gentlemen, is so deep, so strong. And once you can get there, it doesn't matter. The world can pile on you. The world can pile on your shoulders more weight than you could ever imagine. Once you actually have faith, you did, Jeremy. You moved to Iowa. Your faith is deep and strong. Very, very, very true. Very true. Carla said, I don't even open my door. Well, see, Jesus is calling. Do we answer it? There's a lot of ways that we can change our lives. But once you have that level of faith, you do listen. God calls you to do something. Jesus calling, you listen. And not only do you listen, but you can shed fear, anxiety, stress, all of it. You don't have to suffer the physical characteristics of stress. Headaches, migraines, being sick, not eating. That was a leap of faith, Jeremy. Yeah, it sure was. It sure was. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do Rise Up. That was a leap of faith too. But faith will cause you to take directions in your life that are they shed the problems that you'd have if you didn't have it. by a lot. They reduce so much pain. Faith reduces so much pain in your life. Not to say that pain isn't going to come, but it's how you deal with it. It's how you look at it, right? I think it's time to go to some of this interview. Ladies and gentlemen, this interview is with two people that I really admire and I really love, and I would love to talk to them someday, you know, physically. But I want to watch some of this interview with George Jenko and Brandon Lake, okay? They've already had the introduction. I fast-forwarded a little bit. They've already had the introduction. Where we're watching from, I have not seen. So this is a blind watch with you and I both. I have not seen from this moment on. So a little different today, but I think it's great to see young people having theological discussion and how that applies to their physical lives. I think it's great for all of us to see this. And you know what? We can learn from two-year-olds. So why couldn't we learn from people younger than us having discussions about theological events and how it applies to our life? Ladies and gentlemen, George Jenko and Brandon Lake.
So this is, I'm so excited to have these conversations, man. Like the flowing of questions that are going nuts. Did you ever find a time when you're like finding success through already submitting to God, right? You already submitted, you're like, this is your life. Like, yeah. If you want, use me.
Yeah.
You have this, but then have you realized your days that you fail or the days that you're anxious or depressed is when you're leaning more on yourself than God? Have you felt this?
Yeah. So I came home from my very first tour. This was only a few years ago. And I had never experienced depression or anxiety. I probably would have told you I thought it was fake. Like you could just like, you know, wish it away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm embarrassed to say that because I now know it's so real.
Yeah.
And it breaks my heart for people who deal with it very consistently.
And they don't know God.
And they don't know God. I don't know how people, oh my goodness.
There's no way out. How do you get out?
How do you just lean on death? Every time I lean on God, I feel like I'm breathing. Like Peter, right, when he got out of the water after drowning.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can breathe. So like in my mind, you're living here without that breathing of air. Like that's why they call him Yahweh. He feels like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, that's great. No, it's insane. Preach. Like, I can't drop this mic, but I'm smacking. What's crazy is, so I came home from my first tour, here's the first problem. I didn't go home and decompress with my wife and my family. We went immediately to Disney World, which some people will say it's heaven. I think it's hell on earth. I love Disney in a way.
Why is everyone spiraling over YouTube?
Commercials. Hate them. I don't love Disney at all, but
this wasn't the season to do it. Like babies, my extended family was there.
Got it.
Not the way to do it.
So you went from stress to more stress.
I went from, here's the crazy thing. Your body doesn't know the difference between good stress and bad stress either. So all my dreams were coming true. So it was all amazing things. I go to Disney, have zero time to decompress and talk to my wife about all of this stuff. Full-blown panic attack by day two. All of these lies, like, man, the enemy was so loud in my head. I went from being like on top of the world to I felt more insecure and scared. And I was like, I don't even recognize myself.
The devil was attacking.
Attacking me. And he knew exactly where to attack me.
Yeah.
I got so needy. And I have an amazing marriage. I love my bride, Brittany. Shout out. Love you, baby. What's crazy is I tried to feel, even before going to God, I, as a Christian for a long time, I was still trying to fill this void I felt with my wife. Instead of like going to God, I was like still going to a good thing. I should talk to my wife. Finally broke down, right? I'm honest with Brittany. I'm like, I'm freaking out right now. And it was a progression. It broke in a moment actually when a friend of mine, I was too prideful to pick up the phone. So he sent me a voice text and I told him, I just said, hey, I'm freaking out right now. I don't recognize myself. Bro, I'm, and so he sends me a voice text of him praying over me because I wouldn't answer the phone. And as he was praying over me, that spirit, much like when David played his instrument, when there's an evil spirit attacking Saul, right? And David plays and the spirit left him. That's what I felt like. This spirit that was attacking me broke. And I literally curled up in the fetal position and I started weeping and my wife came over and just held me and I was, then really able to be super honest about what I was experiencing. But I went on this journey for the next few months of still kind of like, it's like the spirit broke, but I needed tools to make sure I could stay healthy because the opportunities were coming.
Different level, different devil.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what I learned over those next few months is I was still trying to fill the void, even with intimacy, like with my wife, which is a great thing. But she's like, hey, what's going on with you? Like, you need me like way more than, like, this isn't normal. And it came to a point one day she goes, I cannot fill what you are looking to get filled. Mm. You, only God can do that. And you're trying to use me to fill that.
Incredible
and,
woman.
And incredible. And so I actually started going to counseling. And to sum it all up, he said, Brandon, you're trying to fill that void and you're trying to get rid of the anxiety with even great things, but they were never meant to fix that. They're not, that's not a long-term cure. He's like, you've got to remember and start going to God first and most. And that's been my key. And honestly, it's like a life motto, like a solution for anything is like, man, you need to go to God first and most. Like, prayer should be our first response, not our last resort.
Always.
And I was using that as my backup.
Wow.
And as soon as I've started to cultivate that and have a discipline of doing that, those problems have become less and less.
Thank God.
I'm noticing this in my life, but it's so funny how like it, God uses, you know what it is? It's like God is the light of the world. And so when he's shining on you, all the great qualities of me is from him. Mm-hmm. And all the great qualities of you are from him. So when I look at you, I feel like, my God, are we related, bro? Like, how
yeah,
are we
feel
going?
Like family.
Yeah, it feels like a family, like yeah. a new covenant. I was going through the same exact experience. I realized that I got to this new level. I didn't know what I was doing. I kept feeling like I'm letting God down. And I just, I was really, really like in a dark place. There was one song. I've never wept to a song in my life, ever. I grew up in the music world, so I really appreciated music. But I looked at it from like, oh, what kind of reverb is using? Why is it QE? My brain just went to like mathematical. Like, how did they do this? The adoption song.
No way.
Rocked me. I can't listen to that song now.
Are you serious?
It took me out of a really bad
place. Dude, I thought you were going to say somebody else's song. Are you serious? And then out of all songs, that one. Wow.
Adoption song took me out because when I got to where God wanted me to be, I realized I was worshiping more Satan's version of like how I should live my life. And I'm like listening to his dark thoughts and his condemnation and all this stuff. And I was like, I kept thinking that I had to step up and be the hero, but I kept failing. And I was like, no, I just feel like God doesn't want me. Like, I just feel like I just disappointed him. I'm not worthy. And I started reading Romans and realizing even Paul had this problem.
Yeah, right.
And I just started breaking down. I was like, God, I need help. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to stop listening to rap music because, like, I feel like that's just pressing me down.
Yeah.
So the first song I ever listened to that was, like, a Christian song or, like, an artist that was a Christian artist, I looked you up. And then I saw Adoption Song. And I'm walking in this neighborhood, and, bro, I fell to my knees. Like, the words rocked me, talking to me about don't listen to what he's saying. Like, he's all about lies. Like, I'm getting goosebumps right now.
Dude, I'm about to bawl my eyes out.
That's why I reached out to you a few months ago, because I was like, man, like, God is using this man in such a beautiful way. I believe that everybody's born with this talent or gift to serve God with. And when I listen to you, it's like, I'm going to say this, and this might offend a lot of people. It was the first time I heard God's artist in my heart. I was like, whoa, God's using this man. Like, this isn't like, I felt like you weren't doing it to chase a status or a level. I felt like you were just pouring out your soul through life experiences. And I feel like that's when I succeed, is when I stop trying to be the hero and more the zero and just express what the hero did.
Yeah.
And your music was the first time that ever like rocked me. And bro, like, dude, other songs you're rocking out like this. And then I hear Adoption
Song. And there's like a sweet song.
You're so right. I'm like,
gotcha.
And then the next song, I'm just like rocking out again.
That's my goal. Like, get people in with the rock stuff and then like, you know, cut their legs out with the with the ballad. Make them weep.
But dude, you don't get that no more, bro. I feel like everybody's so numb. So when I hear something that like rocks my heart, I heard this saying, music doesn't need an invitation to your soul. You listen to it, it's right into your soul.
So
like, okay, so now let's bring it back to you. How do you hold this might? Because, you know, the tongue is sharper than any sword, and now you're using it for the glory of God. Does that hurt you a little bit, being like, man, I'm weighing a lot? It's not like I'm just writing music. I'm writing music representing a real God.
Whew, what a question. Does it hurt me, or does it get weighty?
I think
it gets weighty. I mean, oh gosh, but the gift though of doing this and laboring through it and making sure that it's like biblically sound. Like I didn't go to seminary. That was supposed to be a joke. seminary. And so a lot of times I even feel unworthy. Like, God, like how are you, how could I possibly be a pen, like express these scriptures in a fresh way, or in a way that's relevant to our culture nowadays. Like I feel like an idiot most of the times. And like, people are like, oh, you're such a great songwriter. I'm like, dude, I don't know where the next song's going to come from. I just am trying to be stay open. And somehow God just drops things in my spirit. And it's like, it's writing on the plane on the way here.
It's called inspiration.
And a lot of times you don't even know. You're like, this could be absolute crap, or it could be the next song that a million people hear, or 10 million people hear. But I think it's a good weight, because it's a heavy responsibility.
I took two things that I love, dancing and dogs, and I made it.
Yeah. So what he's talking about there is inspiration. I don't ever sit down and plan to write a song. Very rarely, unless somebody asks me to be on their song, very rarely do I plan to write a song. That's why it takes me so long to come out with songs, because they just come through inspiration, you know? Let's go watch a couple more minutes of this and then we'll wrap up.
Beauty is when you get something, and I don't do anything alone. So knowing too that I have a team of people around me that are affirming or going, hey, I'd work on this a little bit more. But I create with people that I really trust and that have strengths in my areas of weakness. But the gift is like what you just shared with me is like laboring through making sure Adoption Song was like, you know, that one didn't happen in 30 minutes, you know? And we revised it and it's still not perfect. Nothing's ever going to be perfect. You could chip away at it for forever.
I disagree.
But to know, thank you.
You tell my soul that.
Yeah, right. So maybe that it's like, it at least reached the point to where it ministered to you.
Yeah.
And like brought tears to your eyes. That is crazy to me that God would allow me to be a part of something that would change people's lives in any way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what keeps me doing it. It's not, you know, going on stage, you know, tomorrow, 14,000 people and hearing the roar, like that's cool, but that will crumble you in a second if you put that glory on yourself.
Yep. And yep. It's too much for you to weigh.
Oh, there's no way.
People put the weight of the world on their shoulders when it belongs in God's righteous right hand.
Hmm.
And when you don't play that way, of course you're going to feel like you're crushed.
Yeah. I had a friend real quick. I had a friend, Brooke Lidgerwood. She's an amazing worship leader.
All right, we're going to stop it right there. And if you guys want to pick that back up, you know, tomorrow, we can definitely pick that up tomorrow. I actually really love watching interviews like that. I think it's truly incredible. And people ask, can we hear a Brandon Lake song on the way out? You know what? I think that's a good idea. So before we go, let me just read. I'm so glad we had this talk about faith today. I really am. This is the day that I have made. As you rejoice in this day of life, it will yield up to you precious gifts and beneficial training. Rise up is training, I believe. Walk with me along the high road of thanksgiving, and you will find all the delights that I have ready for you. To protect your thankfulness, you must remember that you reside in a fallen world where blessings and sorrows intermingle freely. A constant focus on adversity defeats many Christians. They walk through the day that is brimming with beauty and brightness, seeing only the grayness of their thoughts. Neglecting the practice of giving thanks has darkened their minds. How precious are my children who remember to thank me at all times. They can walk through the darkest days with joy in their hearts because they know that the light of my presence is still shining on in them. Rejoice in this day that I have made for you, for I am your steadfast companion. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, turn graves into gardens. I love you all. God bless you. Mike Crispy comes up next. Here's my favorite song with Brandon Lake. See you later. God bless.
I searched the world.
Woo!
But it couldn't fail me. Melt empty praise and treasures of fame. Never enough.
You know it, sing it, come on.
Then you came along.
And did what?
And put me back together.
Woo!
And every desire is now satisfied. Here in your love.
There's nothing, come on.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, yes, I know it's true. Come on, tell them.
Hey.
I'm not afraid.
To do what?
Show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend.
Come on.
Cause the God of the mountain
is the God of the valley.
Is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace.
Time on the way out, everybody. There's nothing. Come on.
Come on.